So this session's on vehicle wear applications. I'm Kevron Reese. I work for Intel on the Tizen IVI team. And I've been involved in automotive and open source for almost a decade. I don't look old, but I feel old sometimes. So I have a little bit of experience, and I've gone through several iterations of different applications using different toolkits, and I just wanted to share with potentially a developer community who are thinking about writing apps for vehicles or thinking about or who have written mobile apps who want to make their mobile apps more vehicle aware. Either of those two developers are the target for this presentation. I'm going to be talking about some UI considerations that every application should, for the vehicle should take into consideration when they're designing a user interface for a vehicle. Then we'll go into some of the essential, what I think are the essential APIs that you would need to develop a vehicle wear application, an application that's going to function well in the vehicle. And then I'll close by talking a little bit about hybrid applications, applications on mobile phones that could work in a vehicle as well. And then hopefully there'll be plenty of time for questions. So start thinking of questions ahead. General UI rule for vehicles is bigger is better, and less is more. So you need to think about when you're designing a user interface, you need to consider the target audience. There are different considerations for designing for a passenger versus the driver. The driver cannot be distracted. It would be unsafe to distract him for a very long period of time. The passenger is a little more tolerable to distractions. You can get away with a lot more with a passenger. So you need to figure out who you're exactly targeting when you're writing your application. Most mobile applications are wrong in the context of a vehicle, right? There are several states in the United States that have laws against, you know, texting while driving, and that's for a reason. The driver should be focusing on one thing and not his applications in the car. And in fact, it's not just texting in the vehicle. Any operation of a mobile phone in some states, and probably California as well, it's illegal. So, but there are ways that you can design applications where they're not going to be distractive, and we'll talk about those. So, and then there are also reasons why mobile apps just for passengers may not be sufficient. Even though the passenger it's not going to be life critical if you distract the passenger, there's some UI considerations that you should take into consideration as well. So let's look at a few examples. 10 years ago, this would have been my user interface in the car because no open source software existed at the time that was really tailored to a vehicle. This is Rhythmbox, which is an open source a media player. And as you can see, there's a lot of things going on. There's very, very small text that's very hard to read at a glance. There's lots of things you can click. It would be difficult to click on some of these elements when the vehicle's, you know, moving up and down. So overall, this is an extremely dangerous application. If it were designed for a passenger, you could get away with a little bit more. But there's still the consideration the vehicle's going to be moving. You need to have bigger text because it's going to be harder to touch things. So this would be a terrible idea in a vehicle. And I apologize to my wife for making her go through that. But this is a little bit better. So this is a mobile app. This is Amazon's Cloud Player for Android. And it's actually quite a bit better. The screen here on the left is the play screen. And there's not a whole lot going on here. The icons are fairly big. The text probably could be a little bit bigger, but it's very simple and basic. You could actually get away with using this if it were a little bit bigger. And then the middle screen is the music selection screen. Still isn't that bad either. There's only 7 elements you can click on. Still, the text is probably too small, but you could probably figure out what you were clicking on by the image, the album image. And then we get to the far right screen, and this is the disaster for the vehicle. There's just too much going on. This is the in-app purchasing screen, and there's just too cluttered, too many small elements you would have to click on, small text. So this would be a big problem in the car as well. This is a very, very old application. This was my first attempt at open source, actually. Myself and some other community members went and designed a media player specifically for the vehicle. And we thought we needed something very quick, very simple, which, as you can see, it is very simple. There's not a whole lot going on. There's just the basic controls and very large text. And this worked actually very well in a vehicle. Following this presentation, if you stay in this room, Brian is going to give a presentation on Modelo. And that's what's available today. It's an HTML5 user interface on Tizen IVI. And it's actually very quite usable. I'm using it in my car as we speak. And it's coming along nicely. It's not perfect, and it's not probably the safe as it should be, but we're making good progress on it, and it's very nice today. Actually, you've probably seen it in the tech showcase downstairs and also in the Land Rover vehicle. So let's talk about some APIs that are essential for developing vehicle-aware applications. We have the native side, and the native side is provided over Dbus. And then we have some web APIs. If you've attended some of the other sessions today, the Tizen architecture, Tizen IVI architecture, or even Bob Spencer's SDK, there was discussion from the move to a WebKit-based web runtime to a Crosswalk-based web runtime. So depending on which version of Tizen IVI you're running, you'll have possibly one or the other. I mean, as far back as April, the April IVI release, used the Tizen web runtime, which was WebKit 2-based. And it had a vehicle API that was fairly comprehensive. And so I'll cover that as well, just for, if anything, nostalgia purposes. But the W3C has also formed an automotive business group. And they've been defining a specification. And we've been working to implement that on top of Crosswalk. So I'll talk about that API as well. But first, the native API. The native API is provided by a middleware piece called Automotive Message Broker. And it basically works on Dbus. There's a manager object, manager interface. And you're able to access all sorts of different data types via this interface. So, and the data types are defined in this URL. There are hundreds of different sensors that you could actually use. We'll only cover a few here, which I think are the essential ones. But yeah, you basically call find object, you pass the data type you want, and you get an object path back. The object path, or you may get multiple, depending upon, like if you ask for a seat, you may get 4 seats back, depending on the vehicle. So you need to be aware that there's different zones in the vehicle, and make sure you get the right one, the one you want. The web API, like I said before, the April release of Tizen IVI had the old vehicle API, and new versions will transition to the W3C API. The general API pattern for the W3C API is somewhat like this. There are four methods, or I should back up. So there's a vehicle object. The vehicle object has potentially hundreds of attributes that represent interfaces to different data pieces. So vehicle speed, for example, vehicle.vehiclespeed.get would be how you would get a vehicle speed data piece. And it uses HTML5 DOM promises to do asynchronous communication. So you're not blocking your web UI when you do any of these operations. So there's get, there's a set for attributes that are settable. For example, the climate controls would be settable, driver or seat positions. And then there's a subscribe and unsubscribe method that you would use to get changes in these attributes. So if vehicle speed changes, you would subscribe to that and you would get a whole bunch of callbacks whenever you stepped on the acceleration pedal. So here's one vehicle property that I think is essential. It's called driving mode. And I've got a Motorola X, and it has a similar concept built into the phone. They call it driver assist or driving mode. But what it does is it infers whether or not you're in a vehicle and whether or not you're driving by a combination of sensors, probably the GPS primarily, and possibly the accelerometers. But when it is in driving mode, it'll read texts back to you. It'll automatically reject phone calls or auto-answer them, or it can automatically respond to text. You can voice reply to text, so you can vocally dictate what you want to say. So this mobile phone essentially to be safe to use operating the vehicle. You're not directly operating it with your hands, but you're operating it via your voice, and you're still maintaining focus on the road, which is all important. So Tizen IVI has the same concept of driving mode, but it uses much better sensors than are available in the vehicle. For example, it could use the whether or not you're moving or whether or not you're in a gear. If you're in a gear other than park, then you maybe consider driving mode. And then you can do different things based on this event. So one of the best use cases, you could customize the user interface if you're moving or not. If this application were designed for the driver, maybe you could allow the driver to change some settings while not in driving mode. But in driving mode, you want to make the interface as simple as possible, so maybe you blank out a few buttons or disable changing settings while the vehicle's in motion. And this helps the driver not only not be distracted, but not die as well, which would be a bad thing. So natively, the interface is Org Automotive Driving Mode, and it has a driving mode property, and it's basically bool, true or false. And then the old web runtime, this is how you would get it. You would pass driving mode into the get method. And the new W3C API, although driving mode's not currently part of the data specification, it would be available like this, and our team's actually working really closely with the W3C business group too, and hopefully we'll get these added, driving mode and also the next one, which is night mode. So night mode is also an abstract property, just like driving mode, and it basically uses a bunch of vehicle sensors to determine whether it's nighttime or not. It sounds really simple, but you could get it wrong, right? If you're just using the light sensor in the vehicle and passing through a tunnel, you don't want it necessarily changing that quickly if it's not really nighttime. So it could potentially use a whole bunch of different sensors, the time of the day, estimate the sunset, things like that. But the brain dead use case for this would be change the UI according to the whether or not it's night or not. So a lot of navigation apps already use this. Like my Google navigation app on my phone will change its UI theme if it's nighttime. And it uses some of the phone sensors to do that. And the reason why you want to do this is because during the day, where the sun is bright, you actually want a brighter screen so the user is able to read it. But at nighttime, you don't want that bright of a screen because it becomes a distraction. So you can change your UI to a darker theme during the night. Also, on occasion, I'll be driving at nighttime, and I'll see somebody who's got like a tablet, and it's like super bright, and it's just illuminating the whole inside of their car, and I'm just looking at them like, all right. they've become a distraction for other people. Steering wheel controls. This is one of the most useful. I really wish, so when I'm not having Modelo or something else in my vehicle because I'm updating or whatnot, I'll plug my phone in. And I wish my phone could operate with my steering wheel controls. If it was smart, if it was vehicle aware enough to be able to use my steering wheel. That way I wouldn't have to break the law and pick up my phone to skip the track. But Tyson IVI provides a way. So the native interface for this is a button event, and there's a whole bunch of different button events you can get. The value is a bit mask, so you can get multiple button presses at the same time. And the web API is fairly straightforward as well, the old way and the new way. So driving mode, button event, and night mode are not part of the data specification yet for the W3C, but hopefully they will be soon. Driver ID. This one is pretty important as well. Let's say that I'm driving my vehicle, I'm listening to some loud music, and I turn off the car and I walk into my house. When I get back in the car, it's pretty typically expected that it's going to resume playback where I left off. However, what if I don't get back in the car and my wife does? She's going to be blasted with my terrible music, and that would be bad for me. So wouldn't it be nice if the vehicle knew the driver, knew who was driving the vehicle, and instead of resuming my last played back position, it played my wife's. Driver ID is one way you could do this. You could save map the last played back position, what song you're playing, et cetera, with the driver ID, and that way my marriage is saved. So basically anything that you would want driver-specific preferences, you can use driver ID for that. So driver ID is available as of AMB 11.810, which will soon be in Tizen. That's the interface to get it, and the JavaScript for those two APIs. Speech. Every application should learn how to use this and use it properly in the vehicle. This is one really, really good way to avoid driver distraction. I mentioned the driving mode on the Moto X, like having your text read to you and be able to reply with a vocal response is just so awesome. And more applications should take advantage of this. So one thing I would really wish, and nothing does this right now, but to have like my news feed read to me, or to be able to navigate to a page and click on a paragraph and have it read to me while I'm driving would be so awesome. So here's the API and how you would do such a thing. It uses pure open source components. There's a middleware piece. I believe it uses Festival and possibly Pocket Sphinx to do the recognition part. But it's a really, really cool feature. Modelo actually uses this today. It doesn't use it quite how I'd like to, but every time you navigate to a different screen, it'll speak to you and tell you which screen you're on, as if you didn't know. So I'll close with some thoughts about hybrid applications. There's no reason why your phone or other devices, your watch, or anything else running Tizen or not running Tizen should not be vehicle aware. And one reason is all the plethora of sensor data from the vehicle is a lot more than is going to be available on the phone. Geolocation is a huge glaring example of this. It's simply better in the vehicle. And the reason is antenna placement in the vehicle is going to be better. Your GPS antenna is going to be placed better in the vehicle than it is on your phone. It's typically a stronger antenna, a lot more sensitive. And then vehicles can combine the geolocation data from the satellite with other pieces of data. Like it could mesh that data with your wheel ticks and your steering wheel angle and compute geolocation, even if you're in a tunnel and you're not getting a GPS fix. So it can do dead reckoning type stuff. And that's really a leap above what mobile phones are able to do. And then I mentioned before, media player integration. If my Amazon Cloud Player could, if I could change the track or pause it with my steering wheel controls, that would be awesome. And there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of ideas that I'm sure you could come up with how you could make mobile apps aware of the vehicle and be able to take advantage of vehicle data that's available. And I'll take your questions.
What about sensors for passengers? Rather, do you, if you have a passenger or not, do we have something that currently for the API for that?
Yes, we do.
And the only reason I mentioned it would be I kind of thought on the loud music being that you, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten into my car and had the last time I got in there blasting music and then my mom gets in the car or something in the car with me. It'd be great if I could, you know, detect that I have a passenger and tone it down to a more moderate level.
Yeah, there is a seat occupancy property, and it gives you, it even tells you whether it's an adult or a child. That's also, that's one of the W3C APIs as well. So yeah, that's definitely possible. Great idea. In the W3C, yes, there's a lot of OEMs, there's lots of tier ones. Toyota's involved, Jaguar, Land Rover's involved, PSA, you know, dozens and dozens of others. So it's actually quite a big group, and they're very active. So A and B has the capability of using real data and simulated data. So typically for my development, I use simulated data, but it has an OBD2 plugin, for example. I can get some data from there. I think if you go out to look at the Land Rover, they're running Tizen IVI with Automotive Message Broker, and they've integrated a lot of their vehicle sensors with Tizen.
Is the intent for Tizen IVI that include eventually the whole Tizen
Hopefully there's going to be a pretty good match. Like I said before, some things that we have in Tizen are missing from the W3C specification as it is today, but there's no reason this early in the specification that we can't propose those additions to make them match more closely.
Where do the Tizen vehicle APIs come from? Where are they originating from? For the ones that aren't in there yet, who cleaned up the extra ones?
Some of them have come from customer requirements. So users of Tizen, whether that be the community or other businesses, they've actually, driving mode and night mode are two examples of contributions from outside of Tizen, or contributions to Tizen, I should say, from a wider community. I should mention also, before I forget, the W3C has a method of publishing standards. So where right now the vehicle API is kind of in a business group, it cannot become an official W3C sanctioned API until it goes from a business group to a community working group, and then the community working group will publish it as a full W3C specification. So right now it's currently in a draft state in a business group, so there's still some progress to be made before it goes into a working group and becomes a full standard. Any other questions? Yeah, so I didn't mention it, but I do have the links. Yep, right here. So there's actually two specifications the business group has produced. One is the vehicle spec, and that has the basic access methods, the get, set, subscribe, and then a different specification that defines all of the data types. So both are kind of very, very much related, but for simplicity purposes, they were split into different documents. It is assumed that the vehicle spec will standardize a lot quicker than the data spec. The data spec is quite large, and so there's a lot of turn and additions. We want to make additions from Tizen, and other people want to make additions and changes. So the data spec will evolve slowly, but there'll be a lot of changes during that period of time. All right, thank you.